Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to the special bonus episode of Cross Movie Aisle. Thanks for being a member of Bulwark Plus. We couldn't do what we do without your support. I'm joined, as always, by Alyssa Rosenberg of The Washington Post, Peter Suderman of Reason Magazine. Alyssa, Peter, how are you on this Friday?
I'm spiffy.
I am so happy to be talking about romantic comedies, a genre I don't always love, but sometimes I enjoy, with friends.
All right, we're doing this episode because I was trying to figure out how to do a rom-com bonus episode, and Peter offered up that he has very specific and weird feelings about the romantic comedy, and I want to get... He thinks the romantic comedy has been solved. It's a puzzle. It's been solved. Peter, go.
So the thing is, there's only one romantic comedy. Okay, there's actually a whole lot of movies that call themselves romantic comedies, but every single one of them wishes that they were, that it was When Harry Met Sally. Because When Harry Met Sally is perfect. It's absolutely every single thing that you want from a romantic comedy. The whole idea of the romantic comedy is just, what if When Harry Met Sally, except not? And you don't need except not. You just need When Harry Met Sally, because it is the platonic ideal of the entire genre. And so this is not a, and this, like, the romantic comedy is not a small genre. It's not like some sort of weird niche subgenre. It is, until recently, like a huge part of the lifeblood of Hollywood. And When Harry Met Sally, at least maybe there's sort of a golden age. I'm less familiar with, you know, sort of some of the romances of the 40s and 50s. But like for modern films, and let's say starting with My Birthday in 1981, there is no other romantic comedy that comes anywhere close. Every other romantic comedy is just When Harry Met Sally leftovers, right? Is just reheated of it, version of it. And when it's not, it's worse. When it's not trying to be When Harry Met Sally, it's something that's even dumber, that's even loose, right? Like, and this is a weird thing to have for a genre. I can't think of another genre. Like, there's a lot of great action movies and a lot of great science fiction films and a lot of great family dramas and heist films. And I wouldn't say that any one of them is simply like just sort of wipes away all of the others and makes them unnecessary. And that's the thing about When Harry Met Sally, is it is so good and so perfect and so pure. It checks every, it's Pedro Pascal's character from The Materialists. It's a 10 out of 10 on every single thing that you want from a romantic comedy, in a way that no other romantic comedy, at least in my lifetime, has ever come close to achieving. That's not to say that I don't like any other romantic comedies, and particularly that it's not to say that I don't like other movies that have romance or sort of couple-related comedy in them. I think there are some that are pretty good, pretty watchable, although my tastes run a little bit more towards, I think, like, probably the hottest movie ever, I've probably said this, is Out of Sight, and just that scene in the hotel between Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney. There will never be a hotter scene on screen. I think the Before Sunrise films are all just really wonderful at getting at a particular thing that draws, it's not true of necessarily, or at least not true that deeply of necessarily every relationship. Relationships are complicated and multivariate, right? But like, it gets at the kind of the hotness and passion of talking, of just talking a whole lot with somebody who you really like to talk to. But When Harry Met Sally is like, when people say, oh, I want to see a romantic comedy, they want to see something that's quite funny, that's sweet, but not saccharine. They want to see something where the characters actually have strong personalities, but are likable, but not simply purely likable with no flaws. They want to see some, right? These people need to have enough kind of character and flaws, and they want to see those flaws and the likable bits bounce off of each other. And they they want to see the characters explain themselves, but in a way that doesn't feel like they're just doing a monologue for the camera and explaining the themes. And then they want it to all work out in the end because these people are, for all of their mess, actually perfect. And that's When Harry Met Sally, and no other movie has ever done that whole thing exactly that well. With like, I every time I watch it, I'm just like, this is perfect. That's it. I don't want any more. I only want When Harry Met Sally.
Alyssa wants to interject.
Have you seen The Lady Eve?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, see, I feel like there's a whole, like, genre of, like, kind of earlier cinema here that Peter is ignoring.
I mean,
I did qualify from my lifetime, 81 on.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, you should watch The Lady Eve, which stars Barbara Stanwyck as a con woman who meets a sort of bumbling, like, little rich boy played by Henry Fonda, who falls in love with her and proposes to her, and then his, like, the private detective his family has follow him around because he is a total naif, reveals that she's a con woman. And so to get back at him, she reinvents herself as, like, a British lady named Eve, who, and then it convinces him to fall for her all over again. And they get married. And she then tortures him by being awful. And he, like, runs away from this British alter ego and comes back to the con woman. And it's, it is so delightful. I love this genre and the idea that, like, there is only one movie, one perfect movie, or even only one perfect movie by Nora Ephron in it is, like, strikes me as insane.
Sleepless in Seattle is a perfectly fine B-side, like, basically sort of follow-up. I mean, it's not a bad movie, but it's just, let's try and recreate the magic of When Harry Met Sally again, and it's not nearly as magical.
I'll just say, there's a lot of Billy Wilder erasure in this whole conversation.
Like, also,
The Lady Eve came out in 1941. That's so long. Like, wake me up when it's an Apple TV series remake.
Ugh.
Sorry. No,
I mean, the remake of The Thomas Crown Affair with Rene Russo and Pierce Brosnan, which is quite funny, very hot, and just, like, sophisticated and fun, right? Like, Michael Kors dressed Rene Russo for that entire movie. It's, like, a pitch perfect, like, encapsulation of New York style of a certain era. I don't know, man. I think you're missing out. I love When Harry Met Sally, right? And it's, like, part of what makes Nora Ephron's romantic comedies so great is that they are these sort of wonderful sociological snapshots of their eras, right? Like, the sort of, you know, Lonely Hearts Call In Radio and Sleepless in Seattle, like the portrait of the Upper West Side in You've Got Mail, and complete with the sort of, you know, like, high-end intellectual cross currents in that moment, right? Like, Greg Kinnear's character and Parker Posey's character, like, supporting characters in You've Got Mail, are, like, perfect New York archetypes, like, absolutely perfect. But yes, I mean, I think that, like, and certainly as someone, like, I'm married to someone who I was friends with first, and so I am, like, extremely attuned with the entire vibe of When Harry Met Sally. But, like, This is a huge and wonderful genre, Peter. Like, and it's, you know, I'm sorry. Like,
it's a huge genre, and there's one wonderful film.
I'm sorry. I sentence you to watch The Lady
Poking
Eve,
the Bear,
or I will not do this podcast with you again.
Poking the bear here. I want to highlight, Alyssa, I think you mentioned The Thomas Crown Affair. There are subgenres to the genre, and probably my favorite of the subgenres is the rom heist.
Yeah,
it's kind of
the rom-con,
yes, they're not always cons necessarily,
yeah.
but there is often movies like this was kind of a golden my teen years was kind of a golden age for this subgenre, where you had like Entrapment and Ocean's 11 is really kind of a rom-com heist movie, at the same time Thomas Crown Affair, of course. It's the sort of thing where it allows you to, it's not just about wooing the woman or the man. It is all, there's like a broader thing going on that is the actual goal, which it makes it more palatable to me, a hopeless non-romantic.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that, like, that, you know, the great romantic comedies are in part, like, rooted in a couple of people who don't think they like each other until they actually really, really, really do. You know?
But we all know, right? This is the thing. We all know that they are destined to be together, and you have to find out exactly how they're going to get together, and it's going to be funny. And this is why, like, Sonny's Ocean's 11, whatever, it's a great movie, and it's even got some, like, good romantic bits. The stuff with Julia Roberts and George Clooney basically works. Steven Soderbergh, we all love him, and it's no out of sight hotel scene, but these are not, they're not competing it with When Harry Met Sally. They are not movies that put the relationship at the center. And that's what I'm talking about. The relationship and the comedy. And this is the thing, the relation, like, of movies that where the main plot is these people are going to get together and, like, yeah, they're going to do some other stuff along the way. They're going to have careers, lives, whatever it is they're going to do. But, like, they're going to either date and get married, or, you know, sort of hook up or connect some way, like, or not, is the central question. And most scenes are going to be built around trying to make you laugh. That's a romantic comedy, and there's not one better since 1981 than When Harry Met Sally. It's not just that there's not one better, it's that there can't be one better, because When Harry Met Sally is perfect. There is no false note in it. There's nothing that you want to be different. There's nothing that could be improved upon. And also, every time you watch it again, it's a movie that's, like, crazily rewatchable, despite being extremely specific. Like, it's just, it's so exquisitely executed on every level, the acting, the pacing, the editing, and of course the script. The script is just word for word perfect in a way that I can't even imagine what a movie that is even as good as When Harry Met Sally would be at, like, what a romantic comedy that is even as good as that would be. Like, it's just impossible for me to think of, like, oh, there's going to be one that's equal. There will never be one that is equal. There will definitely never be one that's better. You couldn't be better. It's not possible. That's science. This is like, we're not going to go the speed of light. It's science.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I do think we are certainly overlooking here the whole kind of mid to late aughts run of, like, I don't know, what was it, like, Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin,
Wedding Crashers,
Superbad, I think, kind of falls in. Superbad is a rom-com.
Yeah, I like a lot of those movies.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. Like a lot of those movies, I would also, although I think they do compete in some ways with the When Harry Met Sally rom-com genre, there are all those that you just mentioned are a little bit of a twist in that they focus a little bit more on the man. And right. And so this was an innovation, partly just because Judd Apatow, like, made the genre demonstrated that you could make a lot of money. So other people decided, okay, let's do this. Partly because comics wanted to be leading romantic men, right? Like, of that era. But partly this was a clever innovation was like, by the late 90s, I certainly remember, like, there was this whole sort of cultural script about how, like, guys don't want to go see rom-coms. They were made for women. They were, the understanding was these were date movies that guys would go see grudgingly. And then the idea was with all of those movies that you're talking about, Sonny, is what if we made them a little bit raunchier in a way that's going to appeal to men more and put the male, the sad guy who is, like, trying to find his love at the center of the story, then, well, women will still go see that because it's fundamentally a romance, and men are more likely to come along, and so you hit your quadrant targets a little bit better there. When Harry Met Sally, again, is perfect because it's so evenly split. It is a movie that, yeah, probably if you went back and looked at the demographics of that film, I would bet it skewed a little bit female. right, in the audience. But it is a movie that perfectly appeals to men and women. Like, as long as you are possibly interested in the idea of, like, what is modern romance like?
Yeah. Well, and I will say, I think one thing that Materialist kind of has in common with, you know, with the Nora Ephron movies, it's like all of its characters are solidly grown up, right? Like, they're in their 30s, they have some self-knowledge, but also some flaws. I mean, When Harry Met Sally also has the long arc, right? Like, you really see the characters develop over a long period of time. And you see their relationship kind of ebb and flow. And you see them, again, sort of change
in
the ways they make them
compelling. And you do it in under 3 hours, in under 2.5 hours, right? Because people actually knew how to write scripts back then.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And I mean, I think they're different from the sort of bro-ish rom-coms, which are like all about the hero's sort of maturation to the point that he would be like both a suitable candidate for marriage and someone who had the good sense to like want to get married or, you know, partnered in like a permanent way. And yeah, I think like actual romantic, funny movies for adults, like I would argue that like Black Bag actually counts as a pretty successful rom-com. Like it's, you know, it's
it has a romantic element.
It's a
and
heist,
even a comic,
right? Like,
element.
That's very much in the rom-com.
But it's just not a rom-com. Yeah.
The only thing I will add to all of this is that I think there's a fairly direct correlation between, certainly in recent years, the decline of the star and the decline of the rom-com, right? Like, it's there, you know, there have been efforts in recent years to try and reboot this whole thing, right? Like No Hard Feelings or Anyone But You. And they've been.
Do we think Challengers counts as a romantic comedy?
No, I don't think Challengers counts as a romantic comedy.
So. I guess I would just sort of, as a side note here, when I was when I saw Materialists, I saw it at an AMC, which of course has like 2 hours of trailers before the movie starts, and a very large number of them were clearly attempts to not quite reboot the traditional romantic comedy, but to offer some new twist on the relationship movie, and to like you, they were all kind of indie tinged, right? Like a sort of low light, like, and it's often like, oh, there were there's like the War of the Roses remake thing, which is a divorce movie, right? A bunch of them were about breakups rather than about people getting together, but same kind of idea of like, what is modern romance? And I do think we are in for a wave of people trying to figure out how to capture getting together or breaking up, like what romantic life is like now. We're in for a wave of those movies over the next 6 to 12 months.
I noticed the same. So I also saw this at an AMC. I noticed the exact same thing. I was like, there were like 10 trailers, and every one of them was for a rom-com of some sort. And I thought to myself, well, this is interesting. This is we are definitely in a we're headed towards a slightly different era of film here. I'm curious to see if any of these hits with audiences.
And it would also just be nice to see movies that, like, I don't know, demonstrate for people in their like early 20s what just like normal, sane courtship can look like. I mean, I just, you know, I don't want to overrate the sort of the extent to which, like, you know, the apps and porn and the, you know, the internet have poisoned everybody's brains, but it does seem like people are very sort of cautious and averse to dating, and like, you know, like Love on the Spectrum is a huge hit, in part because it's about just like gently coaching people through actual human interaction. And I wonder if Hollywood could sort of perform a public service by being like, this is how you act, this is how you behave.
Well, this has been, I think, part of the issue. There's been tons of factors. It's not the only one, but I do think that we have, for the last decade or so, there has been a kind of uncertainty about how one should behave, and about stating that there is even something like a median or more normal or average or typical way. And this was always built in to the kind of the rom-coms that I grew up with anyway, from the When Harry Met Sally era, you know, and Julia Roberts and onward. This is the thing that like all of them took for granted to some degree, that there was like a something like a conventional romantic narrative between mostly straight people. Yeah. And the like that, like saying that in film form has been something that Hollywood has been a little bit reluctant to do over the past decade.
Anyway, all right. Romance is good. Marriage is good. Dating is good. Pro all of those things. Also,
no,
pro.
Dating is bad now.
Dating is bad. That's true.
Wrong.
Well, dating was always sort of like awful, but it's definitely gotten more awful. I think.
I couldn't. Again, I like. Well, whatever. Dating.
Let's all talk
bad.
About dating because we know what it's like.
I would rather,
all of us been married a decade or longer.
Yeah, if I ever have to start dating again, I'm just jumping off a bridge because it's no fun. Looks terrible. All right, that is it for today's show. Many thanks to our producer, Danny Dorst, who's filling in for Rupert Vanderstam this week. Tell your friends, a strong recommendation from a friend is basically the only way to grow podcast audiences. If we don't grow, we'll die. If you did not love today's episode, please complain to me on Twitter @SunnyBunch. I'll convince you that this is, in fact, the best show in your podcast feed. See you guys next week.